You're listening to The Mom Inspired Show, Episode 1. Welcome to The Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. On today's show, we talked to Rachel about changing careers at 30 years old and how staying focused was the key to getting her through working full-time and going to school full-time, as well as being a single mom, how mentors play such a huge role, and why self-care for moms is so important. I hope you guys really enjoy this. Let's go to the show. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So I love starting off every show with an icebreaker, and I love to travel. My question is, what is your favorite vacation place and why? And it can be with or without kids.
I think my favorite vacation location would probably be somewhere warm and tropical. I recently went to St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and I just found that it was a true retreat there. Everybody was peaceful and it was just a relaxing environment. I loved it. So the weather was great, the scenery was great, and then just the community, like, relaxation there was fantastic.
Yeah, so that's
so
one
I'd
of
go
the
back.
Yeah, that's one of the places that I would like to go to. When did you go? What month?
Yeah, I went the beginning of July. And apparently that's a good time to go because there's not a lot of people trying to go in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good time.
Now, would you recommend the hotel that you stayed in?
I would. It was, I stayed at a resort and I was there for a work trip. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I would go back in a heartbeat.
Okay. Do you mind sharing the resort that you stayed at?
Yeah, it was the Carambola Beach Resort. It was a Renaissance property.
Cool.
It was great.
Yeah. And how would you say the flight is getting down there?
I flew from Nashville to Miami to St. Croix. So it was pretty easy, pretty quick and easy.
Okay, great. That sounds really fun. I'm all about hearing where everybody likes to go and hopefully one day going there myself. So
I would absolutely recommend it.
Yeah. So let's get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit how you got to where you are today?
So I am a photographer. That's my employment. I shoot family portraits, and I'm just starting to do more wedding work. That's actually what took me to St. Croix in July. It was a destination wedding. This is my second career, and I found this career. I've actually always loved photography, but I felt like my first career, which was in law enforcement, I just felt unfulfilled there and unsatisfied, and so I really did a personal evaluation of all of my interests and my skills. And I ended up going back to school while I was working full time and pursued photography. And so that's what I'm doing full time now. And I love it. It's great to working from home, creating my own schedule. And it's great to spend time with people when they're happy to see you. That's what I always tell people. People are always happy to see me.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a big change from my previous job.
For sure. What would you say that gave you the courage to be able to take that leap from being a police officer to starting your own photography business?
Well, I left the police department when my daughter, I had a little girl, when she was 4.5 months old. And I just couldn't justify leaving her and going to work and not knowing if I'm coming home every night. I just didn't want that for myself anymore. And so I decided to put my photography degree and skills to use full time. And it just really opened up an opportunity to be able to stay home with her and invest in her and also continue on in a career that I really enjoyed. So it was a huge leap for me, and it still is. You know, being a business owner and working for yourself is, it comes with its own stresses, but by and large, I'm really having a great time and I'm just enjoying myself. So
I love that. And when would you say that you knew photography was the passion or purpose that you wanted to go after? I mean, I know you said that you were evaluating what your strengths were, but have you always loved doing photography, or is that something that you've found later in life that you really enjoy?
So I've always loved photography. Excuse me. If you look back through pictures of me growing up, I'm always with a camera, and it seems silly to, as an adult, I was 30, right around 30 when I decided to go back to college, which, you know, that's not typically what my peers were doing at 30. They were well established into their careers, as was I. Initially, I graduated from the police academy when I was 23. So I thought that that was where I was going to be for the rest of my career until retirement. But I don't know. I think if you look at children and you look at, you know, your 8-year-old kids, I have a 2-year-old, but if you look at your children before they start thinking about how much money they need to make and what careers are preferred, you know, teacher, doctor, nurse, those types of things, I think those are always great areas to go into. But if you just look at your child's interests, I think it's really, I don't know, I think their true passion or their true interest really will surface, and you'll be able to see, like, gosh, they're really great at this. And I don't know, if you can make money doing that, then how awesome. And I guess at the time I took some photography classes in high school, and at the time I did not know that photography was a sustainable career. And I just looked at it as a hobby, as a great hobby. So as a 30-year-old, I began to realize, hey, I can do this full time as a career, and I could really enjoy it. And that's what I decided to go after. It's a huge difference from being a police officer to being a photographer, two totally different things, but, I'm really happy, and it's super fulfilling.
When you were saying about that, you didn't know that photography could be a career, I do think with social media and how everything has changed, that photographers have a completely different platform that they would have had, say, when I was doing senior pictures, and, you know, you didn't have the internet and you didn't have all this social media to display your work. And so I think this is a great time for photographers, because they can really show their work, and then, you know, people post their pictures on Facebook from the photographer. So you're getting free advertisement. And so I think that really has helped the people who really want to do that for a living. So that's pretty awesome that you're able to do that. And I wanted to ask you another question. You said that you went back to school for photography. So is that an associate's degree, or were you just getting some classes?
I went to a local college here in Nashville, and they actually, I already have a bachelor's, but I decided to go back, and I wanted the technical knowledge that came behind this, you know, technical certificate. And I didn't need to take math classes or English classes or speech classes or any of those things in order to complete a degree, because I already had a degree, but I just wanted to take entirely photography centered classes. And so that's what I pursued. And took me right at 2 years to finish classes, and I learned a lot, and I actually met a ton of great people who I still consider friends now, and they're peers of mine in the photography world. So I would recommend anyone interested in a specific trade to pursue classes based around that. I think it's great to have a degree, and I'm a big advocate for going to school and continuing on with your education. But I think that there's also a lot of extra classes associated with a typical degree that would not be necessary to pursue a specialized trade. So sometimes I think that might hinder people from going back to school. So it is possible to take a trade specific track and get that knowledge. So,
yeah, that makes sense. And I wonder how many people have actually gone to school for photography, or if they just decided, hey, I can take really good pictures and I'm just going to give this a shot. Would you say what the majority
you
is?
Know, I have no idea. I mean, there's a lot of very amazing self-trained photographers that have not been to school. And I don't think school is a prerequisite for being a great photographer. But I do, for me, I wanted that information and I wanted to have some technical backing behind my artistic eye and my artistic ability. So that's what I pursued. And yeah, it's definitely not required. It's 2016. We have access to, depending on your budget, you can buy my equipment. But what you can't purchase is my 2 year worth of knowledge and all of the stuff that I pursued through school. So that does set you apart, but there's nothing to say that you can't practice and practice and practice and learn, the skills that I have as well. So
sure. And, you know, what would you say is the hardest part about changing your careers, especially at the age that you were?
For me, it was juggling working full time and going to school full time, all the while maintaining my house and sleeping somewhere in the middle of all of that. And, you know, just trying to stay connected with friends, stay involved in my church. I mean, it was definitely a balancing act, but it was something that I just kept looking towards the light at the end of the tunnel. There was a period of time where I was doing all of that. Plus I was doing shoots outside of my normal business hours. So, and in the middle of all of that, I was having my own, you know, life dramas happening. So, I think, you know, for me, I'm super determined and I'm super focused, and those are sometimes gifts and sometimes those hinder me, but I think by and large they're gifts. And a lot of times I don't, throughout my life, if you look at my entire life story, I think my ability to stay focused and to stay focused on what is coming has really propelled me and allowed me to move forward. So,
yeah, that, I mean, I just think with what you said, I feel like a lot of people can relate to that, and maybe their stories look slightly different, but that they just, especially moms, have a lot on their plates and just trying to figure out what they want to do that's maybe outside of the family and taking those risks and knowing that it's going to be a lot of work, but in the end that it will be worth it. And that segues into my next question. At what point did you feel like your head was finally above water, you know, transitioning into the business, or are you still drowning?
Well, I'm not, I'm supporting myself. I'm a single mom. I'm a business owner, and I'm completely self-sufficient, supporting myself. It is not easy. This is not all rainbows and sunshine. Being a business owner is a huge responsibility, and being a mom is even, you know, bigger responsibility. My daughter needs me and depends on me, and I still, you know, I wear many hats.
Right.
Sometimes
yeah,
I wear them better than others. But mostly I just try to, like I keep going back to, you know, you have to find a really good balance. And sometimes work requires more of my time than my daughter does. And sometimes my daughter requires more time, and I just have to schedule work around what her needs are and what her activities are. And it's definitely requires some organization and sticking to commitment. And sometimes I have to schedule time for myself, which is something I'm really bad at doing. But I would definitely encourage moms in general and moms pursuing opening businesses or functioning in a business for themselves. I would definitely encourage them to schedule time for themselves, because it's so important. That's your recharge time so that you can be a better mom, so that you can be a better business owner, and so that you can be a better friend even.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you were talking. I was thinking about how self-care and how important that is. And I'm an advocate of self-care, as hard as that can be, because as moms, even if you're not single moms, moms in general, when kids are sick, it tends to fall onto the moms. It's not falling usually on the dads. It's the moms taking off work, or if the moms are already at home, they're the buffer. And so they're the ones that have to change their schedule and whatnot. So if you're not making time to do stuff for yourself and take care of yourself, then you really have nothing to give back. And then that's a problem. And so I was going to ask you, what are the things that you have found that when you do find time to recharge yourself, what are those things that you like to do?
I love reading, and reading is something that I feel like when my daughter was born is something that there's a season that I feel like I had to step away from reading. Yes. And now it's very tricky to read.
Yes, it is.
I will say, because in the evenings when she's in bed and life is quiet, or more quiet, I'll say, at right. home, and I'm exhausted. You yeah. know, your kids yes. hit the bed yep. at 7 or 7:30,
and you're like,
and then
I'm
you're
done.
Exhausted. 9 o'clock feels like the new, you know, yeah. 9 o'clock is so the 11. New 11 o'clock, I feel like, for yes. moms, especially yes. of young ones like yeah. what we have.
Yes. Yeah.
So sometimes reading at night is not an option, but yeah. That's really a good kind of escape for me, and something I can do just for myself. I used to be, and I haven't gotten back into it since having her, but I used to be huge into cycling, and I do miss that. And that's something that I call myself a fair weather cycler.
Oh, so that's funny.
These 99 degree days
oh my goodness.
Are not my favorite. So no. you will not catch me out sweating on my bike.
It's
on
awful.
These types of days. That is something that I really used to enjoy a lot, and I'm sure I would enjoy it if I got back on my bike. I will say, just this year, I built a garden at my house, a vegetable garden. It's something that every year, since owning my own home, since I was, gosh, I bought my first home when I was 22, I've always had a garden, and I think that it's just really therapeutic to go out and, you know, dig in the soil and plant things and see them grow. It's been really educational for my daughter as well. I love investing time and attention into growing my own things or making my own things and teaching that skill to my daughter as well. So that has been really, I'd say that's probably that, and reading. You know, I sound like an elderly person, I'm sure, but gardening and reading for me right now are that's my jam. So
speaking of gardening, how do you keep so we would garden, and then the bunnies would eat it all, and then, or those worms, or I don't even, they would just attack our stuff. So eventually we thought, this is ridiculous to keep trying to do this. Have you found, yeah. Have you had luck with keeping all those things away?
I have, and it's really surprising because I have a lot of rabbits on my street. Mm. And in fact, a couple of my neighbors who live on the other side of me, they call this bunny alley. There's always
oh
rabbits.
My gosh. That's funny.
But they stay out of my garden, and it's a little elevated. It's an above ground or a raised bed. And I don't know, they stay out of it, or maybe it's just that I'm planting enough that they have some
oh,
for them
great.
And then
yeah.
there's plenty for me too. So
that makes sense. What have you been planting?
This year I planted a little bit of everything. I had a pretty great size herb garden where I grew rosemary and oregano and cilantro and a couple of other things. There are a couple different varieties of oregano and basil. And then I grew, let me think, I grew beets and
oh,
green beans. Yeah, I'd never
fun.
Grown beets before,
yeah, that's
but they're fun. Really, they're really fun to grow, and I like to eat them as well. So that's really great.
Yeah.
My summer squash was my I kind of misplanted that this year. I planted too much and it took over for a while. So that was a learning experience. I planted spinach this year for the first time, and that was my favorite. I'd say my favorite thing that I planted because I eat a lot of spinach, whether it's in salads or making vegetable wraps or, you know, just anything. And, I could cut it on a Monday and it was regrown on Wednesday or Thursday.
Wow,
and it was just
awesome. Kind
of the crop that kept giving.
That is really cool.
I planted kale and Brussels sprouts and asparagus and zucchini. So all the green stuff that I love and my daughter's learning to love too.
Oh, that is really cool. I would like to be able to grow kale and spinach and stuff like that. It would be fun to, you know, have that grow successfully without it being eaten by insects. So I'm glad that it's working for you. we're almost at the end of the show, but I wanted to ask you, for those moms out there, especially single moms, what would you say to encourage them about going after their own passions and dreams outside of raising their family?
For me, I think the best advice or the best snippet I could give anybody is to find a very supportive core group of friends and let them encourage you. I think sometimes, especially as a single person and a mom and a business owner, a lot of times you just become heavy with responsibility that you forget your value or you forget your ability. And I have to tell myself all the time that I can do this. You can do it.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to kind of motivate myself, and just remind myself that I'm enough, that I can do it. And, that I need to just kind of like rise above my fears. So there's nothing like the worst case scenario is people tell you no, and you have a 50% chance of that happening.
Right.
Maybe 33% chance because they could say not now, but which is not a no.
Right.
But
true.
I think it's important to have some friends, a very strong core group of friends that will come alongside you and kind of reiterate those positive affirmations and encourage you. So, also I will say I have a really great mentor, photography mentor who, has taught me, I don't know, I would venture to say has taught me 10 times more than I learned in school for photography.
That's amazing.
Just teaching, the stuff that you can't learn in a book, but you have to learn through trial and error or through speaking with clients or investing in projects. So having a mentor in your field, somebody who can come alongside you and give you constructive criticism, has been really huge for me.
And how did you find this mentor? How did you find them? And how would you recommend telling people to find a mentor?
So I think my mentor I found in school is actually one of my instructors who noticed something different in me and decided that I was somebody who was eager to learn and that I was worth investing in, that I wasn't just, this wasn't just a phase for me. And so I think he noticed that I was in this for real and he, that was worth him investing in. As far as people finding mentors, I think if you have a trade or if you have some area that you're interested in going into, if you reach out to other people doing that and you are honest with them and transparent and saying, hey, I want to do this. I believe in myself. I believe I could do this really well. I want to thrive in this business. And you reach out to somebody and ask for permission to shadow them or assist them or come alongside them and learn with them. People aren't going to want to teach you what they do so that you could do it, you know, take their business. But when you approach other people doing something that you're interested in doing and you really tell them that you're wanting to invest in learning, then I think that that's where mentors become interested. a lot of people want to come get information and then just go. But, you know, my mentor, I've been working with him for 3 years. And over the course of 3 years, I've learned so much. He didn't teach it all to me the first day he started mentoring me. It's something that he's realized over the last 3 years that I'm in this not to just collect information and go, but I'm in this to really truly learn. And I respect him so much professionally and as a person. He's become really one of my great friends. So
I would just
encourage people to find somebody that they can become friends with, and the mentoring will happen.
So with that, I take it that you didn't just go up to him and say, "Hey, do you want to be my mentor?"
No, but I don't think that that's a bad idea. Okay. I think mentoring people, I mean, that's what people get paid to mentor.
Right.
And so I think as a mentee, people need to realize that there's value in learning. That I think having an intern mentality, when you approach people, interns show up to work every day, but they don't get paid. They're being paid in knowledge. And I think that that's an important mentality to keep in mind when you're pursuing your knowledge, your mentoring from someone. If you show up with expecting nothing but knowledge, then people are going to want to invest in you.
I think that's some great advice for people to take with them, and just to think about, you know, wherever they want to go, who is doing it well, and just trying to connect with them and see if they can, you know, learn some things from them. So I do think that is really good information. And with that said, as I wrap this up, I just wanted to ask you, where can people find you, your photography website, if they wanted to look you up?
Thank you. I'm online at Rachel Ray Portraits, and my name is spelled RachelRae Portraits with an S .com. And you can also find me on Instagram. My Instagram is updated most often, so that's where you can see all my current projects and current sessions. And it's Rachel Ray Portraits at Instagram.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's been a lot of fun talking to you today, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Amber. It's great to talk with you.
And there you have it. Thank you for listening to the Mom Inspired Show. Again, I'm your host, Amber Sandberg. Please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Thanks, guys. See you next week.